Good morning and welcome to A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 13th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting of A Vision for You. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 78, paragraph 3. Today's readers are Robin B. Well, actually, Robin did not check in, so I will ask Anne SCH to read the 12 steps. Amanda H. will read the 12 traditions. Becca R. will read the text. Janice PM will read the closing. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T. and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,159,22159. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,165,22165. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Anne, SCH, to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Jody. My name is Anne, SCH. I'm calling in from BC, Canada. We admitted 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and for the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Anne SCH from BC, Canada. I will now ask Amanda H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Amanda.
Hi.
In Ontario, Canada. Traditions. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, but our lives have become unmanageable.
Amanda? Amanda? Hold on. The 12 traditions, please.
Oh, sorry. Autopilot.
Not at all.
Traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us of the principles before transmission.
Jody, we can't hear you.
Wait, Jody.
Sorry about that. I was reading away. Thank you. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 78, paragraph 3. I will now ask Becca R. to read and share for us. Thank you, Becca.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Kentucky. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail if we were known to the authorities. We may be short in our accounts and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our jobs if it were known. Maybe it's only a petty offense, such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we are divorced and have remarried but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She is indignant about it and has a warrant out for our arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. Yeah, so again, Becca R., gratefully recovered, and great to share on this this paragraph. And again, like, my first instinct is, wow, this is awfully drastic, you know, this thing I did with food. But I have to remember the desire to have this spiritual experience, this rearrangement of the insides. Bill Wilson talks a lot about emotional sobriety being like right sized and not looking for my security in anything but God. And so I'm getting right sized with my higher power. I want to be able to look the world in the eye. I don't want to just clean up the hula hoop I'm currently in, the people who are in my life at the moment and in this day, but I want to clean up my whole past, because if I see someone from my past, I want to be able to look them in the eye, hold my head up, know that I've done what needs to be done to make things right. And it is drastic. And it goes along with the lines of me thinking that this little thing I do with food is not that big of a deal. But here's the truth for me. It is a big deal. It wants to kill me. And that's pretty darn drastic. So if I want this internal rearrangement that the book talks about, that the book guarantees, if I follow these steps, I'll have this result. And I'll actually have it before the steps are even completed. You know, these are the ninth step promises. And so if that's what I want, then this is what I do to get it. And it is hard. It is humbling. But again, I have to go back to when I first started working with my sponsor, and she asked me on day one, when I was still in that just guilt and remorse and shame of what I had done yet again. I had failed. I had succumbed to the food, to this disease. And she asked, are you willing to go to any length for this recovery? And I had to be willing days in. For me, I think I was even months in by this point at step nine. Are you still willing to go to any length? So that's what I've got to share. Thanks for letting me be of service. I look forward to hearing what everyone else has to share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R., for sharing. I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 78, third paragraph, also the last paragraph on page 78. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Britt V. in New Mexico.
Britt V. in New Mexico.
Janice P.M. in Massachusetts.
Janice P.M. Gotcha.
Larry G.
Larry G. California.
Jordan L. in Colorado.
Jordan L. in Colorado. That's just Bort Jordan. Okay, let's go with those four. Britt B., Janice P.M., Larry G., and Jordan L. Go right ahead, Britt.
Thank you. My name is Britt V. in New Mexico. I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph reminds me of why my recovery is so invaluable. When it says perhaps we've committed a criminal offense, my immediate thought is to the two people I have most had to make amends to, and those are my children. Strictly speaking, I don't think that child and family services would have been called. It was never to that level. But because I was indulging in the food, because I was using food to numb my pain and to deal with some unaddressed trauma and depression, I was checked out. My children, they had a clean home. It was a nice environment. They were fed. But I was not fully emotionally present and available to them. And as a single parent, this caused a lot of suffering for them because there was no one else to take the slack. It was just me. And a big part of my journey of service, because that is the cornerstone of our recovery, a big part of my journey has been making amends to my children and in any way possible. And that includes making amends through my presence and involvement in their children's lives. I'm so very, very grateful for this program, so grateful for the 12 steps, so grateful for the reminder every morning that I am not in control, that the God of my understanding is in control, and that if I just follow these steps, if I'm diligent, if I take account every night, if I focus on service and doing my 10 steps, that things will continue to get better and the lives of my children and my grandchildren will improve. With that, I pass.
And Britt, I just want to make sure I got your initial right. Is it B as in boy or C as in cat?
Oh, V as in Victor. So Britt, V as in boy, V as in Victor.
From New Mexico. Thank you, Britt V as in Victor. Mm-hmm. Janice, PM, go right ahead. Janice, press star 1.
I'm so sorry for the delay.
Getting
the phone. Oh, I am so illiterate when it comes to phone and computers. But anyway, my name is, and I'm grateful. My name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Well, this paragraph is like, ooh, a little scary, a little fearful, but what it's teaching me, like it has for years, it's mentioning now several mentions of caution when making amends. You know, we're talking about criminal offenses here. And I don't know, God, it says God is or God isn't. And, you know, many years ago, God had to be with me because I was in a position that the president of the business that I was in was criminally acting with the employees by not paying all his taxes and giving, and giving us all. I was an accomplishment with him, you know, I was one of those, not paying our taxes, so would pay us somewhat under the table. So, I went along with it, and so didn't the other employees. However, there was a time that he sent me to the bank to put a deposit, and there was two accounts. And I'm telling you, God was with me. The employee said, oh, no, you can't do this. You can't put this business money into a private account. Oh, and I said, no. And so they said, no. So I went back and I mentioned it to the president because we were all at fault. We were not paying taxes too, to a point. So he said to me, I'm old. They're not going to put me in jail. They will put you because you're the administrator and you're the director. Oh, I said, well, talk about courage to change things. And that's what I needed to do. Thank God I was in this program. You see, God was with me even then. Those were in before the 90s. The first thing I did was to pray. I had to ask God to give me the desire to really set right the wrong thing, and He would be in charge of the results. And that took a lot of courage. And with this particular step, as with all the steps, we have to know the problem and we have to know and do the solution. Sure, I was willing. I was very willing, you know, if I had to. But, you know, do I want to be a martyr or do I want to, you know, think about somebody, some other people?
That's fine.
Okay, but I just want to let you know that God did give me the strength in their direction to do the right thing. So I decided to tell him that I'm going to put everything on the books. And that was the end of that. So that was pretty scary, but God can do everything. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Larry D., it's your turn.
Thanks, Jody. Larry G. from California. I thought I would chime in today. I had eye surgery on Monday, and I'm kind of isolating here. And the best way to get isolation, as Jody was talking earlier on for the meeting, was to let people know you're around, make some phone calls. I value high moral character and moral judgment and moral decision-making, as it talks about in the Big Book. But when I'm in the food, you know, I'm being gripped by that phenomenal craving, and I've got to eat. I'm not a bad person, but I got to eat. I've done some things that I regret, that I cleaned up, that I regret, and I'm ashamed of, and I think there's some healthy shame in that. That's the shame that of things I did when I was in the food that I would never consider doing today as I'm spiritually fit. You know, I had no problem going into this natural food co-op and sampling the foods out of the bins, the bulk bins. I justified by, hey, I spend $500-$600 a month here, and I'm just going to sample these foods until I got caught doing that. You'll see a movie. Why not go see another movie? You're two for the price of one. I did that. Thought about filing a false claim. My insurance bumped into somebody, didn't do any damage to their car, did damage my car, and so I was going to file a false claim. All these things were under the influence. I was eating compulsively, or I was in the process of craving to eat compulsively. But today, I don't behave like that. I couldn't behave like that. If I behaved like that today or did those things, I would be up all night and having to call a sponsor and make an amends. I just couldn't get away with that today because, we do clean up and we do have some semblance of moral character, which is important to me. But, you know, the man who I once was, I will become that man again if I eat and if I don't do certain things, and I'm willing to do those things. And I'm not saying here I'm totally 100% honest today. I'm not. I still hide and keep secrets at times from my food. I'm becoming more and more vulnerable as I've ever been. I'm working with somebody, and I've never let anybody in on my food as I am letting this person in, and it's really scary. It's uncomfortable, and I crawl on my skin someday but I know it's essential to my recovery that I do that. If I'm going to have long-term absence, I've been 100% absent since May of 2020. If I want to continue, this is not a choice. This is a necessity. And with that, I pass back to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Jordan L., go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Jody, for moderating the meeting for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. talking about money and criminal offenses. I always got caught for my criminal offenses. I guess not always, not for every single offense, but in the end, I always got caught. I made that restitution pretty quickly. after I got sober, because I had gotten caught, and needed to make that. It's funny, I guess, like, I don't know if some compulsive overeaters can relate directly to some of the scenarios outlined in this chapter, and some can't. So I just wanted to kind of make this a little bit more relatable, maybe. We all have experience making financial restitution, and some of us have experience making criminal restitution. And what it comes down to is the willingness to pay back money we owe, and the willingness to take responsibility for crimes we've committed. That's it right there. Like, that's really, it's kind of like the action that really brings me back into the human race. It like truly restores me to sanity. It maybe not, you know, maybe not permanently. I get, you know, I still have some insane tendencies here and there, and those get worked out as they need to get worked out. But it's a thing that brought me into a place of being like prior to these amends, I was outside of the societal circle, you know, and then like this action brought me back in, and really like a part of this big beautiful mess that we call our human society, you know, and it really gave me the confidence and the self-esteem to start participating again. So that's what I was thinking about this morning, being restored to sanity, very much so. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Okay, we are on page 78, the last paragraph, third paragraph. Perhaps we've committed a criminal offense. Who else would like to share?
Mo H.
Thank you.
Yvonne A.
Roz G.
Okay, we'll go with those three. Mo H., Yvonne A., and Roz G. Please take it away, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Jody. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive eater and a sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California, where it's raining very heavily today. So criminal offenses, you know, it's like, well, I haven't committed any criminal offenses, you know, but when I really dug deep, and it took maybe two or three different ninth steps till I got to the criminal offense I had committed, which was taking food out of the bins in the grocery store. That was my major criminal offense. I was embarrassed when I thought about what I had done. And I told my sponsor, and she said, well, we're going to have to make, you know, restitution. And I got really scared. I just, oh, my God, to have to go and see someone face to face and say what I, you know, had done. I mean, it just felt so shameful. But really, it wasn't shame, because I'm not a bad person, but it was guilt. I felt guilty. And I don't know why, when I was taking the food, I guess I was in my disease. That's why I didn't feel any of those feelings. You know, it's just, oh, well, it's just a little bit extra here and a little bit extra there, and added up. So I did. with my sponsor, we composed my amends letter, kept it short, decided what was the amount that I could afford, and I did go into the three stores that I had taken from over the years, and I was deathly afraid to go into the first store and talk to the manager, and I called my sponsor, and she said, let's pray, and we did pray, and she said, you can do this, and she said, you will feel so much better when you've completed these, and that's, you know, part of the promises of the ninth step, look the world in the eye. And so I did, and I got the manager. They asked me why I wanted to talk to the manager, and I said restitution, and I wasn't asked any further questions. And the manager, God put that manager in front of me, because after I finished, she said, that must have been very difficult for you. And I am so lifted by what you just did. She said, do you know how many people do what you do and don't follow through with the amends? I'll tell you, I walked out of that, and she gave me a hug, and this was before COVID, and I walked out of that store feeling like I was on cloud nine and ready to do the rest of them. I was ready to go through with it and get it done. And now when I walk into those stores, those bins are like a hot flame. Don't even go near them. I don't even look at them, because that's none of my business, because I have put the food down, and I don't want to feel those feelings anymore. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you very much, Mo H. from California. Yvonne A., where are you calling from?
Good morning, Jody, and everyone on the line. This is Yvonne A., and I'm calling from BC, Canada this morning. And boy, I wasn't really too keen, actually, about sharing on this paragraph. I still don't like talking about the fact that I have committed criminal offenses, pretty much the same as other people have talked about here today. But this was not the fun part of me, or fun part for me of doing step four and step nine. It was, I have a lot of pride and selfishness and image management and all those things that make me want to not have to tell anybody that I have stolen food from the grocery store, that I have lied about the circumstances of an insurance claim, that I did take money out of the petty cash at work. And so, yeah, to get on this line and tell everybody, say all those things out loud to a whole bunch of people, is not particularly comfortable for me. But it just made such a huge change to how I saw my behavior. And so now going forward, like somebody else said this morning, I have a certain moral expectation of myself that I have to live by, that God expects of me, that my higher power expects of me. And so now when those opportunities arise, and they do, I don't hesitate, to be honest. A situation came up recently where I was in a store. I put a piece of makeup that was about $20 in my cart. I forgot when I went through the checkout that I had that in my cart, and I actually forgot when I loaded up my car that I had put that in there. So I went away. Somebody else probably got the piece of makeup, but I took that makeup from the store. I had intended to purchase it, and they were out the money. So I went back and said to them, I took this makeup out of the store without paying for it in error, and so I'd like to pay for it now. And they took the money. Now, I would have never considered doing that, but I knew if I didn't, if I left that as something unattended to, that would crop up in some way that was not going to be good for my recovery at some point down the line. And so now today, it's just so easy to make those things right. Whether it's a mistake or something intentional, I go back, I fix it right away, and just clean it up. so that it's not festering. So that's really all I have to say today, that, you know, there is freedom through this step. I mean, the step nine promises, which we're going to come to shortly, do come true when we start making all of these wrongs right. So I encourage everybody to, you know, be brave, proceed with step nine. The promises are there waiting. And with that, I pass.
I can't hear you, Jody.
Yeah. There I go again. Sorry. Roz, it's your turn, please. Thank you, Yvonne A. from British Columbia.
Okay, good morning. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, Los Angeles. And I just want to be accountable by saying that it's my third day. I shared the earlier meeting a few days ago, almost this same situation. But it was really quiet, and you know, just kind of wanted to be of service in this way to just give some hope. So that I did, as I've heard in the other shares, I was an assistant manager at Taco Bell many years ago. And I knew how to ring up food so that there would be, you know, it looked like there's extra money in the cash register. And I would take that money and buy it for gas. Or if there was, you know, extra from the cash flow, like if it was over. I didn't do it all the time, but I'm guilty of that. And found ways to give back to that corporation. And also the biggest one was the criminal offense of withholding funds from the welfare department. I was on welfare years ago in an alcoholic marriage, and my husband didn't work for the last 5 years of the marriage. And so hesitantly and angrily went to the welfare lines, and it actually was a step in the right direction, because they in their wisdom gave me the ability to they gave all the cash to me, food stamps and cash, not to him. But I did get a check for $9,000 for some lawsuit that I forgot I had entered in. It was a Taco Bell lawsuit, and I hid it. I didn't want them to know I got $9,000, because if they knew and if my husband knew, he would have spent it. So I hid it, and eventually it caught up to me, and I was in recovery when it caught up to me. And the sponsor and I went over it, and I told them the truth. I'm in a program. I'm not the same woman. I'm honest today. But I had to hide that because I thought my husband was going to steal it, and I needed it. I actually bought a car to take my three young children to school and to different things, and to go to school myself. I needed it. So they forgave me. They came to my house to see my assets, which was a small apartment. They came to see it, a woman, and had her little, you know, her checklist, and we sat on the sofa, and I said, I'm in a program, and I'm sorry I did that. I am not the same person. And she had tears in her eyes, cried, and I never heard from the welfare fraud department again. God took me through that, God and my sponsor. And so that, to me, is a criminal offense that I was forgiven for. And I am not the same person today. And I have a lot bigger life than those days. But I cherish those days. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. All right, we still have about 10 minutes for sharing, maybe three people or so. Who else would like to share? Page 78, the last paragraph.
This is Susan B. from Pittsburgh.
Susan B. from Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, who was that?
Elizabeth A. from Michigan.
Elizabeth A. from Michigan. One more, please.
Gabby D., Michigan.
Gabby?
Abby with Gabby. An A.
Abby B. from Michigan. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Susan, followed by Elizabeth, and then Abby. Go ahead, Susan.
Thanks, Jody. Grateful to be here. Well, I shared on 8 o'clock, and I'm sharing here again. I don't want to, but just got a sponsor. I'm reworking my steps, and I think, you know, I shared on the last meeting about my stealing issues, about my stealing food, about my doing the self-checkout and saying the apples were, you know, the $1.99 apples. But no, they were the $3.99 apples, and justifying that and saying, well, our government, this is ridiculous, you know, and the entitlement there that, well, I shouldn't have to pay because, you know, I'm special. And a lot of stuff like that, a lot of stuff like if I can get away with something, I'll do it. And it's like it's someone had mentioned on the last meeting, the vicarious through, and I think it's more that. It's more like it's just like another part of my spiritual malady. And, you know, I guess what was ringing for me this time sharing was, you know, this is a spiritual malady, Susan. This is not just food. This is whatever I'm doing that my God doesn't want me to be doing. So I'm going to say it's been really hard getting back on the meeting.
Susan, we lost you. Susan B., we lost you. So we're going to move on.
I don't know what
there you are. You're back.
Am I there? That was weird. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, I was saying about the spiritual malady, and, you know, it's been hard because it's like God's opening the door here, and I'm starting to think about, oh, and you were selfish here, and you did this, and you did that, and people were talking about their ninth step and the fourth step, and I've done it before, and I'm going, oh, no, you know, I'm getting all this anxiety right now. I have to be honest, and I'm like, okay, Susan, just keep your feet planted where they're at, you know, because I'm also I'm engaged, and I know I've done a lot in that relationship that's going to need cleaned up, and I want to go fix it now, and no, that's not what I'm supposed to do, so I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be hearing, you know, voices that I know from the past. I'm grateful for everybody's honesty. And I am looking forward to cleaning up everything. Doesn't feel good, but I know it will. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Susan B. from Pennsylvania. Elizabeth A., please share with us.
Hi, this is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. I just did some writing a couple of nights ago on the section of the big book, and my immediate thought was, oh, criminal offense, whatever. Like, yeah, okay, these guys were really, you know, depraved or whatever. I don't know what my brain tells me, but I just really started writing about criminal offense because my daughter years ago had a boyfriend that said to my daughter, he said, I don't know how your mom didn't get arrested. And at the time I thought it was really funny. And as I was writing the other night, I shoplifted a lot. I did go back and make amends. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since 1986, and I had them take cash out of money out of a paycheck. But yeah, that was another whole rush was shoplifting, and we would take entire meals, and we would take alcohol, and sometimes my driving. I mean, here, let's just get really honest. Not that long ago, I swiped a car, and I did more damage to my car than theirs. I got out, I looked again. I am realizing I'm not that good of a driver. Like, I do have one eye that was damaged when I was a kid, so I don't have depth perception. But here's the truth. I have a relationship with a God of my understanding, and it's His grace. And I don't need to make excuses for my behavior. There aren't excuses. it's the grace of God, and all I can do is keep working on getting better and better. And so, yeah, I did go back to the stores, and I do continue. I've been working really diligently on being a better driver. I heard years ago in OA that my driving is a barometer of my spiritual condition. If I'm ticked off at everybody while I'm driving, it's me. It's my spiritual condition. So anyway, people often are, you know, frequently, I am so much more transparent than I used to be. And people find it sometimes either too much, as it says in the big book, we hope it doesn't offend you, our honesty, but other people are refreshed that I'm just very human today and improving by the grace of God and the help of a loving higher power and people that I can be rigorously honest with, and I will pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Elizabeth. And I will remind everybody that although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And I know when it's quiet, it's tempting to share. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but please do remember our guidelines. Abby, it's your turn. You have 2 minutes, Abby.
Hello, everyone. My name is Abby D, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Michigan. And I'm grateful to have a snow day from work today, so I got on the later one. And as soon as I logged on, I was like, oh, I don't have anything to say about this. But these shares about stealing, like, it just totally brings me back. And I was a waitress at a restaurant, and there was these $10 off coupons that would come out in the newspaper if you used not just if you used cash, but $10 off of 50 or something, like, and you could go out to eat. And so as a waitress, I would go around town and buy all the newspapers, and then when people used cash to pay, I would slide in one of these coupons as if they used it, and then I would pocket the extra $10. And I never, like, I knew it was a secret, but, like, never until working the steps was I, like, rigorously, honestly looking at my life and, like, oh, my gosh, I have to, you know, make amends for that. And, you know, just other stores that I've stolen from or family members that I've kind of ripped off in a certain way. Like, not everything came to me at once, but, like, as time goes on and as I continue to live this principle life, I start to, you know, be reminded of these things. And God gives me the ability to pay it back. Like, God gives me the ability to pay it back and to pay it forward and to clean up my life. So grateful today. And, you know, in doing that, it's amazing that, you know, the compulsion or the obsession to compulsively eat is lifted. You know, that's why we do this. That's why we live this principled life, so that the obsession, you know, we have a spiritual experience that results in the obsession being lifted. So anyways, glad to be here, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Abby B. from Michigan. Okay, that's all the time we have for sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Janice, PM, please read our closing, A Vision for You?
Yeah, thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I pass.